Congratulations again to Rick Brown of Abingdon. He was our Toaster Trivia winner here this morning. What are turkey chicks called? Either poults or turkeylings? Who knew? Is it something might come up in conversation over the Thanksgiving dinner table.
We don't eat them when they're that young, so we don't care.
Well, it has been a while. I was just talking with a congressman off the air, and I think it has been actually since he got elected to this position as our 18th district representative in Washington, D.C., and he joins us again here this morning. Congressman Darren LaHood. Congressman, good morning. How are you today?
Hey, Tom. I'm doing well. Great to be on with you and your listeners today. It has been a while. I think it's probably been close to 5 years.
So. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I believe, like I said, you and Senator Weaver came in, and he had replaced you and here in the state of Illinois. You guys had actually came in studio together that morning. I still remember that one vividly. So, yeah, it's been a little while. So, obviously, you've been in Washington, D.C. for a while and able to get your feet wet. Talk about, you know, first off, kind of the differences of dealing with things at the state level and then the federal level.
Well, obviously, at the federal level, you represent a lot more people, Tom. I'm now representing 715,000 people as opposed to about 200,000 people. So it's just a larger district. Obviously, many of the issues are the same. You're dealing with fiscal issues. You're dealing with issues like transportation and education and those type of issues. But it's a bigger stage. It's more people. But it's many of obviously the same constituencies from agriculture to manufacturing to hardworking people in central and west central Illinois. And having been somebody that's been born and raised, I live in Dunlap now, Tom, with my wife and three boys. That's where we're raising our kids. I mean, this is home for us. So I've been honored to serve in Washington, D.C. Obviously, we've had some challenging times over the last 5 years, but was happy to get reelected, I guess, 3 weeks ago yesterday in the campaign, and look forward to another 2 years of representing central and west central Illinois.
Congressman Darren LaHood joining us here this morning. Congressman, you recently, it hadn't been that long ago, a little bit before the election, introduced some legislation that was going to be creating a loan program for state and local governments. And it was actually rather interesting because a state like Illinois, which I completely understand, would have prevented the state from receiving any loan forgiveness. And that makes complete sense because it sounds like a place like Illinois, and I don't know if California is the same way or some of the others that are in bad shape like us are just looking for a handout to cover all the bad legislation that's happened for years and years and years. Is that actually come to the floor yet? Has that gone through, or where are we at with that legislation?
Yeah, well, I was proud to introduce the Taxpayers Protection Act. And what this legislation did, and we have a number of co-sponsors on it, was really looking out for the hardworking taxpayers in Illinois. What we said is we should give money to states like Illinois and other states, but we wanted some core requirements in there. One is that you have a rainy day fund in case something happens. Secondly, that you balance your budget in the state of Illinois. And thirdly, that you get your pension system sound. Now, in 40 different states across the country, that's the case. They have those three things. In Illinois, the sad reality is we haven't had a balanced budget in 22 years in the state legislature. Secondly, we do not have a rainy day fund. And thirdly, we're $150 billion in unfunded liability. And my point on the legislation is, yes, we should help out Illinois and other states that need it, particularly because of COVID-related revenue loss. But if you can't do these core foundational things, then you're not going to get the loan forgiveness, which other states are going to get. And we're trying to figure out a way to incentivize the state of Illinois to make these changes, become fiscally responsible, to look out for the taxpayers. And that's what this legislation, the genesis of it, was all about, is to make that point. And you referenced it. California would fall into this. Kentucky would. Connecticut, New Jersey, New York, Illinois. These are states that have not been well-run fiscally. And we believe this was this is an opportunity and legislation that will do that. It's kind of the carrot and stick approach. You're going to get the money. We're going to help you. But you got to meet some of these foundational requirements that, again, 40 other states have already done.
And, of course, you lived it, being from the state of Illinois and having spent the time you spent in the legislature in Springfield. Do you see us changing anytime soon? I mean, obviously, we all hope it happens. And one of the things I finally agreed with something our governor said recently after the his quote-unquote fair tax legislation failed, that he said, well, now there's going to have to be cuts. Thank you. That's the way it's been all the time. There has to be cuts. I understand it's going to hurt, but you can't tax yourself to prosperity. And he's finally said, yeah, we're going to have to make cuts. Do you see that happening? Or do you see Illinois taking advantage of maybe these incentives you come up with?
Well, listen, I'm an optimistic person, and I'm always looking for the silver lining. But I've been sorely disappointed in the state of Illinois. I did serve in the Illinois State Senate for almost 5 years, so I've been there. I've seen it. We haven't had a good track record of doing that. And so what is going to be the pressure point? What is going to be the movement or the issue that's going to cause that to happen? Unfortunately, we haven't been able to have that. And that's why this, again, legislation would create that pressure point to do that. But listen, I'm glad the progressive income tax that was on the ballot 3 weeks ago got defeated. I think the last thing we should be doing is thinking about raising taxes in Illinois, particularly during a pandemic, and particularly with the fiscal problems the state has had. But now the governor is talking about making cuts, and you have to couple that with a robust economy. You have to have a really good business climate. We haven't had that in Illinois. So I think it has to be a combination of things, but I'm glad the governor is looking at how we, how we make some of those cuts that are going to help with getting Illinois back on track. That's what we need.
18th District Representative Darren LaHood joining us here this morning. And Congressman, let's kind of switch gears to currently, of course, the election has happened, and congratulations on being reelected. And as it looks, we will have a new president. You've gained more seats on the Republican side in the House. The Senate, we don't know about for sure. Kind of give your take on it. It was a really, I don't know if interesting is the word to use. The whole election cycle was a little bit interesting compared to years in the past.
Well, I think there's a couple observations I would make. One is everybody thought there was going to be a blue wave, and that the blue wave was going to hit the country, and that didn't happen. Obviously, looks like we're going to retain the Senate, which is a good thing. We were supposed to lose 10 to 15 House seats. We're now going to end up gaining 12. It'll be the closest governing majority in the House of Representatives since 1919. Obviously President Trump got 72 million votes. Looks like it wasn't enough to win, but I think that surprised a lot of people. My point is, that the American people defied the polls, and we didn't have a blue wave, and so we're going to have divided government. And moving forward, listen, I'm a strong Republican. I'm a proud conservative, but I also believe you have to govern. And so the election is over now. Now we have a responsibility and obligation to work together. We're Republicans and Democrats, and try to find common ground. And I'm committed to doing that. And I think it'll be interesting to see what the second observation I would make is what didn't work in the election is things like socialism, defunding police, some of the far radical left-wing agenda items that some of the Democratic Party had pushed, and those things didn't resonate. And so, I think hopefully Vice President-elect Biden will start off on the right foot and resist some of those temptations. And I think if he does that, I think he could have a productive first year if he focuses on infrastructure, transportation, how we rebuild the economy after COVID, and again, getting back to the economy we had pre-COVID, which was the best in my lifetime. So, and the last point that I would make is, I think what we saw in the election is there's been a change in terms of who voted this time. Working class people voted for Trump overwhelmingly. These are the people that are your plumbers and your contractors and your roofers. It's been a change. Those are the people that are driving pickup trucks voted for President Trump and Republicans. And the people that are driving Range Rovers and BMWs, they now have stickers on the back that say Black Lives Matter and resist. And so you've had a switch from the traditional country club Republican, and you have working class people supporting the Republican Party, which I think is different and unique.
Congressman Darren LaHood joining us here, representing the 18th District here in the state of Illinois. You know, one of the things, obviously, the president has said, yeah, let's get this transition started, but he still is not conceding. And there's a part of me that understands it, and something even that you mentioned earlier. The fact is that he got more votes than any president has ever gotten. He got more minority votes than any Republican has gotten. So you got to sit there and think, like, okay, there's got to be somehow, some way that maybe I did win this thing, that now the president-elect got, really, he got more votes than a very popular president in Obama. So is there a part of you that understands why he is not conceded and still has his team working on the lawsuits and whatnot?
Well, of course. I mean, yeah, you referenced it. I mean, this was one of the closest elections in our entire 240 years of history. And to get that close and come up short is frustrating. So, listen, everybody deserves their day in court. And when you go to bed on election night and think, oh, it looks like I won or I'm headed in the right direction, and then, you know, to wake up early the next day and go, oh, my gosh, these absentee ballots came in and, you know, four or five states and I lost. Well, yeah, that needs to be looked at, particularly with how many people voted. So I've been willing to give the president the benefit of the doubt to look into that. But listen, after 3 weeks, you have to have facts and evidence. I'm a former prosecutor and former lawyer, and you have to have facts and evidence. And the president filed over 30 lawsuits in six different states. But in the end, you got to present to a nonpartisan judge facts and evidence. And I don't think up until this point I've seen the facts and evidence to support that. But I think with an election like this, you have to be able to look into fraud and improprieties and irregularities. Remember, the integrity of our election system is the cornerstone of our democracy. And so you have to, if there is those allegations, they have to be looked into for the future of the country. So, but I will admit, his legal path is narrowing. The facts and evidence have not been there. And I'm glad this week he made the decision to allow the GSA to release the money for the transition to Biden. I think, obviously, the Electoral College will meet in about 2 weeks here. And I think the end is near. And I think we'll most likely have a Vice President Biden as our new president-elect.
18th District Representative Darren LaHood joining us here this morning. One final topic I wanted to touch on in this, the whole pandemic, the COVID-19 pandemic, and some questions I've had throughout this thing. That, you know, and it's obviously hard to find what information is true and not true. There's, you know, you can, whatever information you're looking for and whatever spin you want on it, you can obviously find online. So there's one thing that I've been trying to figure out. Is that one of the rumors, I will say, is that there is money coming from the federal government, and I don't know if it's Medicare or where it's coming from, that providers who have a COVID-19 death are getting money for that. Is that the case? And if so, where's that money coming from?
Well, there has been a lot. So great question. So yes, there has been some money flowing from the federal government. Remember, in the spring, we allocated and appropriated $3.6 trillion, most money ever spent in American history in that short period of time. That money, through the CARES Act, has gone to a lot of different places. A big portion of it has gone to obviously, healthcare, frontline workers, hospitals, and also to people that have become sick and need the assistance. To your specific point on that, so it depends on the different states, but some of that money has flown there. Most of that has dried up now. It's an issue that we're looking at in the next stimulus relief package, which, of course, we haven't been able to pass because we haven't reached an agreement on that yet. But I have said that, and by the way, all of this money goes on the federal credit card, right? We continue to go into debt. We're $27 trillion in debt in this country right now. And so we have to be cautious of that. But I am supportive of another kind of skinny relief stimulus package that goes to help disproportionately affected businesses. And what I mean by that, that's the family-owned restaurant. That's a business involved with catering or banquet facilities. It's the travel industry, lodging industry, hospitality industry, gyms and workout facilities. Those are the ones that need it. But I think we have to be careful about where this money goes. And to reference your point about just giving money away, there has to be some justification for that. And we'll be looking into that as it relates to the next bill.
Congressman Darren LaHood joining us here this morning. Congressman, thank you so much for your time. Any other final thoughts, or you want something you want people to know about that's going on or that you're trying to get accomplished?
Well, I would just say as we head into the next year, we do have to pass another stimulus and relief package. I look forward to working on that. And now that the election's over, I look forward to working where I can in a bipartisan way to get the country back on track. And work with the new administration or President-elect Biden. And also, trade agreements are important for our farmers. You know, I represent the eighth largest ag district in the country. And our farmers had a pretty good harvest this year, but we got to continue to look for trade opportunities, whether it's Mexico and Canada trade agreement we passed last year, or looking for opportunities around the world. And so that'll be a priority for our manufacturers and our farmers, is trying to find some common ground on trade agreements, because, as you know, we only represent about 4.5% of the world's population. We have to have customers and markets around the world for our products. So that'll be a big priority. Would love to come back on with you guys in the future. And I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving and a healthy Thanksgiving.
Congressman, thank you so much for your time this morning. 18th District Representative Darrell LaHood, thank you so much. You guys have a great Thanksgiving as well.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.